Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Prophecy. News. War. Rumors of wars. Violence. The shaking of the earth. The end times. The end of the world as we know it. Welcome. You are listening to War Radio into the night.
Lighting the fire, starting the melting pot of America and the world. Welcome to Warren Radio. This is The Warrior, and today is Friday, the 20th day of January 2012. Tonight, Shabbat, Israel series, Moses, the man of God. And our Torah readings for this week are Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2 through chapter 9 and verse 35. And Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 25 through chapter 29 and verse 21. And now I welcome the watchman, Dana Smith. Dana, shalom, Shabbat.
Shabbat shalom, Chris, and to everybody. You are indeed with us on a Friday night, and we are indeed kicking the tires, lighting the fires. Howbeit, we are all glad to be here. We're glad that we're not traveling. We're glad that that's done, and you know, my recuperation will be full and complete as soon as I get done with Shabbat. That's just one of those things. Last weekend was fun, but we do need these weekends when we're home and don't have to travel, and we can just kind of kick back. So tonight we are in, you know, talking about Moses. Now, last week, the Torah reading actually began at the first part of Exodus and went till 6:1. So we're picking it up at 6:2, which means that the initial call of Moses, we're not going to really cover that. We've covered that pretty much every year, you know. We do these every year. We go through these. Only this year I've been putting them up on the websites. But at any rate, it's a great story. Joseph is all scheduled to be played on our American Voice radio satellite network. And that will be going on here in a while. We do take a lot of these and replay them over our satellite audience, because that plays around the world practically, and many of them don't make it here because this is, and we do get them from time to time that have heard us on there that actually come by and listen. So at any rate, we're doing that. So how are you doing tonight, Chris?
Well, Dana, it's getting late around here and kind of feeling it. But other than that, I made it through the day, and, you know, I think all things are good. Sitting around here, got to make some dinner tonight, so that wasn't too bad. But coming up Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, is the Watchman Exposé newsletter. Now, this is sent out each Sunday to your email box. And this hard-hitting, biblical, in-depth writing on faith, salvation, Jesus, prophecy, end of the world, and the return of Christ. And this week, the expose features a look back to 1 year ago, January 2011. Includes our newsletter, The End Time Gathering. And this week, The End Time Gathering of All, Ephraim and Israel in one, the remnant of the Lord. And tonight, as I said earlier, is our Shabbat service, and tonight is the Israel series, beginning with Moses, the man of God. Deliverance from Egypt, the rise of Israel, to a vast number, the oppression of Israel by Egypt, and the man of God called Moses. And in Exodus chapter 6, in verse 2, and God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And in verse 3, it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And with that, I hand everything back over to the watchman.
Thank you, Chris. And folks, we're glad you joined us tonight. We have been doing a lot of these. They're great foundational truths because, the Joseph series and a lot of these others, we do start out in the beginning of the Torah, and we follow this all the way up, and there's just so much there. It reminds us of our roots even today. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, your Torah. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this time tonight, Lord, this holy convocation where we could come together. We pray that you would bless the brethren, Lord, as they have a day of rest. We pray, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, that you would help me, anoint me to give forth your word and anoint the ears of those to hear, their hearts to receive this word. And in the name of Yahshua, I send forth this anointed word over this phone line and through the internet into the homes in the name of Yahshua. We know that it'll not be, Lord, it will not be hurt or hindered in any way. We know that it will bring forth exactly what you've called it to do. And we bind you, Satan, from this, from all parts of this, from the beginning right here in this office, the going out over the phone lines and through Rev Media Network, and through Blog Talk Radio Network, we bind you. We bind the powers of darkness, and we loose the power of God to move upon the people, to touch their hearts and their lives. In Jesus' name. Whenever we're truly talking about these particular patriarchs, it's always hard to determine which one you may like the most. I like all the stories equally. Joseph is probably one of the most moving stories, although Moses, in his own right, it goes clear into the day and age we're in now. I mean, these are so vibrant. But starting in Exodus 3, I'm going to read a few verses there from
live show. We're reconnecting you now.
Yeah, I suppose I could. I think, yep, we do have Dana back on here.
Yes, we got back. I'm also connecting the... you go ahead, Chris. I got to write something here.
Okay. Well, I was just going to get back to some of the events that transpired last weekend, and I think one of the things, you know, again, it's getting back to the order of God's authority, but it was really laid out in a way that you saw so much. You saw the eras in which we live. You know, I mean, it started with God the Father, went through God the Son, went through the Holy Spirit, and on into Peter, and on into the disciples, went on into the fivefold ministry, went on into the deacons, then the bishops, or the bishops and deacons, rather. But then it went into the Father, the head of the household, you know, the patriarch. And that really spoke to me. In our family, you know, I do give, and my sister does as well, our parents, the respect that's due them. But it was interesting to see, you know, how important that is in our lives. And I know, you know, many of us out there, and I've got many friends who have parents that are less than worthy of that title. But I saw, you know, when you hear things like this, you know, you also do a lot of personal evaluation, you know, and I saw some things in my life that, you know, hey, could require some improvement. You know, I think we all can relate to some of those things.
Okay, Chris.
All right, well, maybe another time. But back to you, Dana.
I appreciate you filling in, and this again happened on a Friday night. I contacted Blog Talk the last time. They said that on their end everything looked fine. We still couldn't identify what the problem is. It's back on a Friday night. I do not think it's anything here with our system, but we just don't know. So at any rate, we're going to start this again. We are in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now this is where Moses had seen a bush that was burning, but yet it was not consumed. And of course, Moses is going to find out exactly what's going on. And as soon as he comes nigh, he hears this voice to say, "Take off your shoes." And the voice continues to say, "Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. Now I can guarantee you that when you see a bush burning but not consumed, and out of that thing you hear a big voice that tells you to take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, and he says, "Guess what? I'm God." Yeah, that would be enough to indeed make you afraid. Even though sometimes in our little pompous flesh we think that, oh yeah, you know, I'm ready to stand before God. No, you're not. You're not. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now remember, when they went in there, they went in there and they were delivered. And had they not gone to Egypt, they would have starved. And it was also here that Joseph actually married, and he married into, you know, the Goyim line, the line of Gentiles here. So it is then that we see the line flowing through Ephraim, not Manasseh, that is where the nations are going to be blessed here. So this really has a lot of implications for the rest of us. "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me."
to a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
You're almost sitting right there as this is all going on. Dana, are we back on air here?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it doesn't connect you. It disconnects me. It's got to be my phone line. So we're going to have to do something. I don't know. Maybe the phone itself is no good. I'm going to have to get a new phone and go from there. You know, that's just, you know, all there is to it. And just another expense. But, I mean, I don't know, you know. I mean, there's nothing lighting up, you know. I don't know. Nothing else is affected. Just that. So at any rate, let's try it again. In verse 8, it says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of their land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And of course, from then on, you know, we run into trouble with Moses. Because he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, and I'm trying to think that what part of, you know, go to Pharaoh don't you understand? But he certainly, you know, argued, and he continued, and within this whole context, you can read it. You know, he does kind of kindle the anger of the Lord. And within this, of course, by the time he's done, he's got Aaron on his team. But the one thing that that we see in the latter part of this, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You will say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, he was given signs later on, so when he went to them, they would know. And so Aaron would put the staff down on the ground, and it became a serpent. He would pick it up again, and it would be the his scepter again. Moses would put his hand, or Aaron would, in their vest or inside and pull it out and be white, put it back in again and pull it out and it'd be normal. They could take water and pour it out and it would become blood. So there was definite signs. Things that nobody could do. So today, Israel is in the land, you know. This is where the story's picked up. They're being oppressed. And within this first part of this, Pharaoh calls for the killing of the male children. The midwives refuse because they feared God. And when it came to Moses, he was put in the water. And God's providence saw to it that the daughter of Pharaoh would find Moses. I mean, that's the hand of the Lord. So then Moses is raised in Pharaoh's house. He's taught, he's educated. And somewhere along the line, he actually starts thinking about his own people again. And that's where he runs into one of the Hebrews that, you know, is being beat by an Egyptian, and Moses slays the Egyptian, and, well, over to make a long story short, Moses flees as a result of killing the Egyptian. The Pharaoh is after him. So he goes to Moses. He finds Jethro's daughters, helps them, ends up marrying Zipporah. and he becomes a sheep herder. And Gershom is born there, and over time the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, dies, and all those that sought his life are gone. And so Israel is groaning now because of the bondage, so God is looking to Israel. He had always meant for Moses to do this. Moses didn't know it. But see, in the beginning, you see, Moses very well could have been called in the very beginning, and that's probably really what he was feeling. He felt he needed to do something, and since he was, you know, in the Pharaoh's household, he thought maybe he might be able to help. But he went about it the wrong way. You know, and usually when you start out in your call, you know, because God does call a lot of people. It says many are called, few are chosen. And that even goes for believers, Christians. But let's talk about pastors and evangelists, and let's talk about the Moses and the prophets. You know, there's a long way between being called as a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor and really getting to that point where God can use you. Because in between those is a massive gap where God has got to work in your life to get the sin out. The problem we have with most of the church is we don't know what sin is. And we don't follow it biblically. So we've got what we call an imbalance in the leadership. It's called a sin imbalance. So Moses goes to the other side of the desert. Sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to go to the other side of the desert and get away from the hand, you know, of man. And just because he went over there and he got a wife and he got kids and he maybe forgot all about it, God hadn't forgotten him. Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So 40-some years later, I think it was 40 years, God reappears, or God appears to Moses and said, okay, now we're going to do it. Of course, by this time, Moses really isn't ready to do it. Now, in Exodus 3:19, 20, and 21. Goes about 10 minutes and it quits, Tara.
Reconnecting you now.
The Almighty God and the Sovereign Lord, Avenger of evil with a two-edged sword. From everlasting the great Holy One, our Heavenly Father, Light of the world, Kingdom come. The Ancient of Days.
Well, that was number 3.
That was number 3, Dana.
I think last time it happened 3 times, too. I'm going to have to see if it's the phone. I don't know. You know, I've tried Skype on this. Skype don't work very well with Blog Talk either. So I don't know.
And I was just wondering if it might be your line, your exterior line.
No, that's another major issue here too. It's not our internet. Our internet's not having trouble, but our phone with that is, and we're going to have to do something because you know it just.
Oh, it doesn't happen on Tuesday. Doesn't happen on Thursday. Just on Friday. Which
I know that is so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at any rate, we're at Exodus 3:19. And this is the Lord speaking. He says, I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Now, I wanted to put this in here because the Lord had told Moses ahead of time that when he goes to the king of Egypt, you know, the Pharaoh will not let him go. He told him that I'm going to stretch out my hand and do miracles. Then he will let you go. And when you go, you're not going to go empty because I'll give you favor. In other words, people will give you money. Gold, trinkets. So, this is important because, you know, the thing here is that when you begin to do something for the Lord, and man, this is quite an undertaking. Moses and Aaron are going, and you get the people excited that you're going to. And for some reason, maybe they didn't understand how bad it was going to be. Because once you start going into this, you know, the Pharaoh is going to say, who is the Lord? And he did say that. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You know, I mean, here comes Moses and Aaron back, you know, a couple of nutty, you know, Hebrews with staffs saying, you know, let my people go. Pharaoh needs all the Hebrew people because they're doing all the work. What's he going to do? He ain't going to let them go. There's no way in Pharaoh's mindset that he's going to let these people go. No. No way. Now, after they had already seen Pharaoh, okay, in Exodus 5:19-23, Moses and Aaron had already gone into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would not This is getting to be a pain in the butt. I don't know what we're going to do. Let's try this one.
A live show. We are reconnecting you now.
phone, and from our hearts we sing. Our rock and our fortress to the world we proclaim. Your great righteousness and glorify your holy name. The bread of life.
Okay.
The good.
Well, folks, I don't know how far we're going to get with this tonight. I'll probably, we'll go a little bit longer, because I haven't even got into the main part of this. This is still the intro. And, I'm going to have to do some equipment checks. And that's about all I can say about it. There's absolutely nothing I can do right now. And, well, at any rate, in Exodus 5, the children of Israel were found out that they were not to minish from their bricks. And so now the children of Israel had to go gather their own straw to make their bricks and stuff like that. And yet their quota was not reduced, it was increased. So what you have is you have Moses and Aaron, who are now God's prophets, who are seeking to bring out the children of Israel. They've gone to see Pharaoh, and that fell flat. Pharaoh turned around and increased the load on all the children of Israel. Now the children of Israel are mad at Moses and Aaron. Now see, when they first went there and did the miracles, that sounded really good. Hey, that's great. God is going to get us out of this. You know, but what people forget, and I think we forget this in the church, I know we have, and that is, there is going to be trouble. This is a war. And here you are, Moses and Aaron, you know, I am that I am. The God of the universe has sent these two men to Pharaoh. Pharaoh snubs his nose at the God who could, you know, this God could take, you know, I mean, he wouldn't even have to think about it. You know, he could snuff this Pharaoh. He could make him like dust. He could turn him into a fly. Okay? I mean, and what does God do? He lets this pompous Pharaoh, you know, cause trouble. Well, there's a reason he does. And so, as long as it sounds really good, as long as it sounds like, you know, God's going to deliver us, that's fine. But when that deliverance runs into a couple of snags, which it did here, and all of a sudden, they have to work harder. And that would have hurt. Now, being as most of us live in, you know, Western civilized world, we don't know what it's like to be a slave making bricks like they were doing. We don't know that. So, here comes Moses and Aaron now after a successful bout with a Pharaoh of being made to look like, you know, where's your God? It didn't work. They failed. But they did what they were supposed to do. God told them they wouldn't listen. See, now this is important thing. God has said he's not going to let you go. It's going to take more. So in God's timetable, this was already fitting into what the Lord had already seen. But see, when you get in the human condition, we, you know, fail to see this. And so we get mad. And so the children of Israel said unto Moses and Aaron, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of his servants to put a sword in their hand to slay us. You know, that's not very good words. Good job, Moses and Aaron. Well, I don't know if Moses and Aaron told him or not, but Moses and Aaron should have known. But in the next part, Moses returns to the Lord and says, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So now you got Moses going back to God saying, okay, Lord, you know, probably in the back of his head, we don't know this, but, you know, I knew I wasn't set for this job. I knew, you know, I just can't talk right. I can't do all this stuff. So I'm going to go back. Lord, you told me you haven't delivered them. You know, I mean, it's been 2 weeks and, you know, boom. Or it's been a couple of months. You know, the problem we run into, and especially in the ministry and whatever you're going to do for the Lord, is that we put timetables all the time on God. And when trouble comes, we, you know, God, what's the matter with you? You know, you haven't done anything. I mean, sure, I know you're the God of the universe, but if I'm truly your man of God here, we need some help. Because this guy ain't listening to me. You see, so there was some problem here. Now, this week the Torah picks up in 6:2. So you have Moses. Here he is again in 6:2. Of course, Moses' name meaning a drawing out, because they drew him out of the water. But it's kind of a fitting name, because God would use Moses to draw out the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so the name itself means a lot. Moses was drawn out of water, and it is the living water himself, I am, that is going to pull Israel out of Egypt, draw them out by the hand of Moses. So there's a lot of interesting types here. And in 6:3 it says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's Shaddai. We say El Shaddai. Another thought about El Shaddai is the concept of the many-breasted one. He is the Almighty.
Tell him there, I can't tell him. Well, let me see. Tell me if you can hear me.
Okay. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now we have to do is figure out how we can get Chris in here. Have Chris call me. And we'll see about doing it that way. Because we're pushing this out through the other way. Just have him do the regular office number. No, not that. The regular office number. Hello, Chris?
Yeah, Mom told me to call you.
Call in on the office number.
Does he know what it is?
Okay.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently, what is happening, somehow the phone part does not get it through to Blog Talk. Hang on. Hello? Okay, I got you.
Everything working all right?
Yeah, now they hear you online too.
Oh, we're online?
Yeah. You're definitely, I'm trying to turn things down. I'm getting a little bit of a back feed here. So,
Well, we're not recording then on Blog Talk because
no.
I got booted off and everything.
Yeah. Well, what is happening, and that is this thing, this is the other part of the simulcast. It is flowing right into Rev Media Network and broadcasting.
Okay.
The Blog Talk Radio is not. It is what's kicking me off all the time. So I don't know what the problem is. And it could be, you know, the phone lines. It could be all this because, you know, the phone lines here are not very good. So I don't really know what the problem is. But at any rate, we can still do the show like this. This would be like...
this would be super live.
Yeah, this is super live. Yeah, that's another name for it, super live. But we can't do all the little fuzzies there because I'd have to set something else up here to do all of that. Because the panel that I use is non-existent.
Okay.
You
well,
know.
Dana, we do have about 45 minutes, it looks like, on our clock.
We are recording this, so this is being recorded. I'll just have to go through this. Just a minute. Let me stop this, because this is going to stop, and then I'm going to start again. So I need to restart my stream. Hang on. Okay. That'll be a brand new one. So now, folks, I'm going to attempt to do 6-2, and I'll try to patch the other part in to go there. And I can do all this. I have the equipment. I just haven't figured out what we're going to do about the Blog Talk part yet. It's in the technical realm. And there's a lot of trouble with the phone lines here. We've already had them come out. And frankly, I don't know if there's anything we can do about the phone lines. We may have to totally get rid of everything and start over totally and do something from there. But at any rate, we will figure it out. But at least we are going over Rev Media Network, which is no big stretch, you know. I mean, you know. We appreciate the Rev Media Network. And this way we're going live. We just lost the feed on the other one. But see, we can do that now because of the way the thing is set up. So, at any rate, let's get back into this. We were talking about Exodus 6:2. And we are talking about Moses, the man of God, in Israel. Now, the first part of this... I'm going to try to put this together because we've been kicked off of our Blog Talk Radio thing. This is the second time in probably a month it's happened. And this time it took, kicked me off 5 different times. This last time I just 86'd the whole thing because it's not working. But we are on our Rev Media feed here, so we're going to try to put that part together with this one. and you'll be able to see that. But in finding out this about Moses, the man of God. Now, see, it said he was known or appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And, of course, God Almighty here is Shaddai, or, and we've known this as El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, the Almighty. And the idea of this is, it comes from a primitive root meaning burly. You know, a big burly person, you know, guy that's big and huge, and he's powerful. Well, you get this idea of Almighty as being the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One. And when we say the Many-Breasted One, that means He is all-powerful, able to do all things. Now, He was known unto them by God Almighty. You know, and that would have been naturally what you would have called Him, because, you know, there's this God in heaven, and He appeared to me, Abraham said. Well, He can do anything, you know. And He said, my seed is going to be like, you know, the stars of the sky. Well, He made the skies. I talked to Him. You know, so the concept is, if you think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is they knew Him by this almighty, all-powerful God that could do everything. But they didn't really understand that this almighty God would be also known to them by Jehovah. We say Jehovah, but there's no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. It's Jehovah, meaning self-existent, eternal. It's the Jewish national name of God. Well, why would He use that name? Because He is just getting ready to deliver Israel out. He's going to become Israel's God. So this is the beginning right here where Jehovah, or Yehovah now, He is going to be known as the God of Israel, the God of Israel. And so this is very important. It's right here at this point. He says, I was known by God Almighty to them, but I was not known to them by my name, He says. Jehovah. And so this is really interesting when you think about it. I mean, this is the God of the universe here. And He's going to all the trouble to get Moses, who really didn't want to go, but he would have gone, because he felt the call. You know he felt the call. And he's taken Aaron with him, and they're back in Egypt. And so they're there trying to get their people out. Well, see, you can't do it by, you know, mere persuasion. This is not going to be done by two guys out of the sticks that just seen God. See, and this is what we need to understand for you and me that live it in these last days. And that is that, you know, if you're called or if you're a believer or whatever, you know, you can say, well, I know God. Well, good grief. How many people do I know God or know a God? Well, you have all of the Muslims over there that know God, and they're willing to kill you to prove it. Okay? So if you want to go over there and say, well, hey, I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your God is false, you go right down there in Mecca when they're going around their holy thing there, and you just tell them, all millions of them that are gathered there, that you represent the true and the living God, and see how long you live. See, this is one of the facts that we have to understand. And even with Prophet Tom, and this is one of the reasons that, you know, over the years, talking to him, you know, when he met eye to eye with people trying to kill him, he met them with supernatural signs and wonders and deliverances. Proven fact. Moses and Aaron are going to meet Pharaoh and Pharaoh's armies, okay, with the hand of God. See, that is important. And if you and I, as believers now, are going to be in Jacob's trouble, which we are, and we have enemies that come against us, we'd better have, okay, the hand of God supernaturally prepared to see us through. That's just all there is to it. That's why it's so important when you read these things that you understand who it is you serve. You see, anybody can give God lip service. Anybody can say, well, you know, I serve, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, whoopee. So did the Jews. And guess what? Hitler killed 11 million of them. But the thing with them, they had rejected the Messiah. Part of the curse out of the Torah was upon them at the time. You see what I'm trying to tell you tonight? This was an important thing for Israel. This was important for Moses and Aaron. They had not a clue. Now see, God wasn't bothered by that. He had already told them, hey, he isn't going to let you go. I'm going to have to do signs and wonders. But he didn't say, okay, now you're going to go down there. It'll probably take you a week to get down there. And when you get in there, go right in to see him, and he's going to tell you no. And then, of course, it's going to be a couple of weeks or after that that he's going to increase your burdens, and then you come on back to me, and we'll take care of it from there. You see, how many times have I heard, you know, if God would only set me up a road sign saying, okay, you go over here, you know, you turn at this street right up here, you take a left, and then you go down 2 miles, take another right, and then you see the building, it's right there, and it's purple, and it has all this other stuff. You see, sometimes when we get the call of God, we expect that. You see, we don't make allowances for the jogs in there that require faith. Because I can tell you that when I left Bible school and I was a hot-to-trot youth pastor and I took my family down there, I wish to God I hadn't ever gone. Because in the process, it was nothing but pure hell. I should have stayed where I was the whole time, graduated, and then given a lot to fasting and prayer before I went anywhere. But I didn't do it. I was full of zeal. We had been on the streets. We had seen, you know, God move. You know, we weren't afraid of any church. You know, we went down there. They brought us in. And so by the time I got done preaching and it was on fire, they didn't like it. I didn't consider that part. I didn't consider the part where the deacons would say to me sometime on a Sunday morning, we don't want your kind here. Pack your suitcases and go back to Bible school because we don't like you here. Well, that was coming up around Thanksgiving. You know, Christmas was coming. And, of course, that's when I did celebrate those pagan holidays. Now, Thanksgiving isn't pagan. I like Thanksgiving. But, you know, I did. I still did that. They taught you that in Bible school, see? Now, today, I keep the feasts and, you know, the real things of the Lord. But I didn't then. Didn't understand it. So, I was waylaid. Now see, Moses and Aaron are now waylaid. And so now they got to pick up the pieces. Now Jehovah is going to have to do something, and that's what he was going to have to do. He knows very well he was going to have to do something. So basically he tells Moses and Aaron that I am the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one. I am going to be known to you. That will be the national name of God, Israel's national name. You will know me, Jehovah God. And when you say that name, you will identify Israel with me because I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. And that's the way it was. It is today even. Jehovah. Jehovah. And he says, I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and I'll redeem you with great judgments. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're Moses and Aaron, and you've never really seen God at that time, I mean, you would have known. Okay, the Hebrews, they would have known. They would have talked about Joseph. So Moses would have known about Joseph. He would have known about Jacob. And of course, Isaac. He would have known that whole line there. He would have known how Israel went from just a few, you know, souls under Jacob to a vast multitude at the time Moses shows up. So they could definitely look back and say, well, this is what God does. Now, see, the children of Israel, for their part, they'd been crying out for a long time. Now, they're making bricks. And if that wasn't hard enough, God sent two deliverers to them, and now they're not only making bricks, they got to go get the other ingredients and gather them from all over Egypt now, and they have to make all of their same amount of bricks. Their load has increased, and now the taskmasters are mad at them. Well, they're surely not going to greet them with smiles. Well, it's so nice of you to want to leave us. You know, I am so happy that your God wants to deliver you from our bondage of you. They're not going to be excited. You see, the devil is never excited when you go to deliver someone out of his camp. And if you're preaching, you know, in a church and they're all backslid and you're on fire for God, guess what? They're not going to be anxious to hear your message. They don't care. And by the time you're done, they may stone you. Paul was a great man of God, but his people hated him, the ones that were in, you know, the synagogue, many of them, because now he was one of them. Now, see, all of this goes back to Genesis 12, when the Lord told Abraham to get out of the country. And later on, the Lord told him that his kin would dwell in another nation as strangers for 400 years, and he would redeem them out. So all of these things had to come to pass, because God is a God of calling things before they ever happen, calling the end from the beginning. And so, in Exodus 6:6, 6:7, and 6:8 again, you have Moses back to the main message again. See, he's already gone to him before. He's already talked to him. He's already been over there. They believed him. He went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh did nothing. He made it worse. They looked like they didn't get anything done. Now he's back up at God, and of course him and the Lord are speaking right now, even though he said, "Lord, you haven't done nothing," and they're all mad at me now. That's a good job of deliverance, isn't it? When God sends you to go do something and that happens. Well, the Lord told him that's what would happen. And when the Lord sends you to do something, you better watch out. Because if you think he's going to send you somewhere and things aren't going to happen, you know, I got news for you. This God that you and I know and serve has enemies everywhere on earth. You see, even though God made the heavens and the earth, and even though Yeshua defeated Satan right here on this earth, this particular planet is filled with Satan and all of his minions. And he has all kinds of helpers and all kinds of humans that want to stay in his camp. So you come along and you say, "I represent the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," or, "I believe in Yeshua, I believe in Jesus Christ," you're going to run into somebody sooner or later that is going to put a wrench in your monkey works. He just does that. So, he says again, he says, "Wherefore," and in other words, Moses, "go back and tell him, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." Now that word Lord is Yahweh. They call it Adonai. Hashem, meaning the name. "And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I'll bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I'll give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord." Boom. Period. There it is. So he's going to go back. Now, Moses gave the message all right. And the first part of this is really interesting, because you can really, really, really apply it to you and me today. You know, and it says that, "And Moses spake so to the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage." You see, the problem you have, and that anguish of spirit here literally means for shortness of breath. You see, it's not that Israel wanted to be rebellious. It's just that they couldn't bring themselves to believe. When they first showed up, there was hope. But when this happened again, that hope was crushed. And it's like having the wind knocked out of you. And that's why we get anguish of spirit, for shortness of breath. Poof, there's no hope left. So Moses is trying to bring them hope. They have no hope. It's been knocked out of them. They're just going to have to, and they see themselves right now as being held captive the rest of their lives. No hope. Why should I even pray anymore? God has forgotten us. You see, they had been given hope, promise of deliverance, but when the Pharaoh didn't listen and increased the burdens, it knocked the wind out of them. Knocked their socks off. So they become despondent. They fall into unbelief. And of course, that will affect Moses and Aaron as well. All because of that cruel bondage, the slavery, the tasks, the heavy burdens. So if you ever come across people that are, and there's a lot of them out there, that are truly, truly, you know, just like this, anguish of spirit. They have no hope. I mean, you can tell them about God, they've heard about God, they've been to churches, but there's no power in the churches. There's nobody that can bring them deliverance. There's no hope. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation about the churches. I can't remember which one it was. And the Lord said, and you tested and tried the apostles, which said they were apostles, and you found that they were not. And you see, I have tested prophets, apostles, evangelists. I found that they were not. Anybody can say they're a prophet. Anybody can say they're an apostle. We've got more apostles and prophetesses and prophets than Carter had liver pills. I mean, they are everywhere. God has no shortage of people that are setting themselves up and telling everybody that they're this or that. And so in today's society, you have many people that walk around and there's no power of deliverance in their life to bring that forth. Yeah, they have the spiel. They've gone to the schools, they've done a lot of stuff, but there's no power. There's no hope. And so that is, for you and me today, that is our challenge. That when we come across people that have no hope, that we bring them hope. That we remind them that this God is still a God of deliverance and healing. And so God is telling Moses, you go back and you tell him. Now God knew very well that they had had the wind knocked out of them. But you see, if everything would have gone fine and dandy with Israel, say they were never made slaves, they'd have never wanted to leave. And if they never wanted to leave, they would have never fulfilled the scripture that God wanted to give the land to Israel. He couldn't have done it. So this had to happen. And so in 6:10, the Lord speaks to Moses again. And he says, go on and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children out of the land of Egypt. Now see, this is interesting, because in these verses, Moses again says and brings up his shortcomings. And then what you have following, the writer that wrote this, then goes into the history of exactly how you come to find out that Aaron and Moses are the ones used. And you find that in Exodus 6, 25, 26, and 27. Then the Lord gives a reply, okay? So you have these sections in here between 6:14 of Exodus and 6:30 that gives a history. And so you find this out, who these are, who Aaron is, where he came from, and Moses. And so in the process of all of this, you turn around and you go down to Exodus 7, okay? And so this is the answer to what God and Moses was talking about in 6:13. So, Moses in 6:12 says, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He gave them a charge. Says, this is what you're going to do. Then the answer to them is in Exodus 7:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Now, in the Torah, it tells you to fear God and fear the prophets. A true prophet of God is one that you have to have a healthy fear. Because if you ever do, God forbid, go against him, you're going against God. And you will find yourself in trouble. Deep trouble. Okay? Now, if you don't think they are, keep your mouth shut and go the other way. But don't, for God's sake, stand up like Korah and his bunch did. Or even like Moses, Miriam did. You see, when God anoints someone to do stuff, and they're a real true prophet, you are in danger when you go up to that prophet. You better understand what you're dealing with. And this is exactly what God did with all the prophets. See, when the prophet came forth, like Samuel, like Elijah, they were feared. And at times they were almost like God, because when they spoke, they were speaking the words of God. And miracles happened that nobody had ever seen. And so the Lord is telling Moses, "I've made you a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother, is going to be your prophet. And he's going to be doing what you say. He's going to be doing it." He says, "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth my armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out all the children of Israel from among them." Now this is the thing. Again he tells them, but he explains a little more. He says, you're going to speak everything that I tell you to speak. Now that's one of the things that a prophet does. God tells them, they speak it. If God don't tell them, they don't speak it. This isn't something that the prophet goes around and just makes up things. That's important. And he says, you're going to speak what I tell you to speak. And he says, when you speak, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so I can do my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But even with the signs and wonders, he's not going to listen to you. And I'm going to lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Now see, God is going to let loose mighty judgments. He's going to bring locusts, he's going to bring flies, he's going to bring lice. He's going to bring frogs. These, you know, in prophetic speak, is the armies of the Lord. He'll just call them forth. And you'll have more lice, more flies, more frogs than you've ever had in your life. You, by the time he gets done with you, you're going to be willing. Give him what he wants. And we see this, you see. And understand, when we're going through this, think of the last days. Because this God is going to do the same thing. He's going to send two prophets, and they're going to be there for pretty much the last part of the tribulation. Jacob's trouble. And they're going to do signs and wonders upon all the earth, and they're going to afflict the earth in all manner of things, as oft as they want, bringing forth the word of the Lord and testifying of the Lord. Then towards the end, they're going to eventually be killed and lay in the street for 3 days. And the world will give gifts one to another because these prophets would have tormented them so much. So you need to get the concept here of what a true prophet of God is. We haven't seen true prophets of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I've heard enough from people that are nincompoops that try to tell me Prophet Tom is not a true prophet of God. I can tell you and I can testify to you that he is. And I don't mean he's a mamby-pamby prophet. He is a hard-nosed, tough, hard-as-nails prophet of God. And when God gives him something to call, he will call it, and it will come to pass. And there's going to be other prophets like that. Matter of fact, in these last days, when the enemy is making war, there will be a number of true prophets of God, the likes of which you would have never seen. So it's high time for you to get out of the framework of this Americanized or Westernized concept of the prophet and prophetess and apostles that have a lot of blow but no show. We've all got a lot to learn here, folks. And when I read Moses, I'm here to remind you that this God, as we're reading this, this is a scenario for the last days. The Pharaoh is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. There's going to be a lot of the same things happening. There's going to be a place like there was in Israel here, and we're going to go through it. I did it last year. I talked about Goshen. There was a place for God's people to be separated from these plagues. It will be that way in these last days. But this is the remnant. There will be a lot of the church that won't be separated, and they will suffer. A lot of people that are expecting to go in the rapture, and they won't go. Don't get mad at me. It's not my fault. God opened my eyes. I've been telling people, you don't want to listen? I mean, hey, have fun. It's not that I want to make you mad, but dear God in heaven, I mean, it's time to wake up. And the whole reason the Lord is doing this is so the Egyptians will know that he is the Lord. And the word Lord there is Yahweh. You don't mess with this word, Lord. This is the final one. This is it. This is the big one. You know, there may be a whole line of gods that people think there is, but there's a God above all gods. And that is who this word, when it says, I am the Lord, that is who this one is. This is one of those that you watch your mouth. You understand what this God is doing. And if he says that's what he's going to do, by God, as there is a God, you'd better watch out what you're doing. You watch your mouth, and you either get with the program or shut up and go somewhere else. That's what you do. But in America, what do we do? What do in the church? We criticize, we find fault, we blaspheme, we ridicule, we judge. All about things that we think we know, but we don't. First of all, we haven't even seen a true prophet around here for I don't know how long, let alone a true apostle. It's not that we're all deaf, blind, and dumb here, but we have fallen a long ways. So the Lord is going to show Egypt, I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord, boys. I am he. Ladies, I'm he. The Lord is saying that to America. I'm going to judge your harlot ways, women. I'm going to judge your whoredoms. I'm going to judge you men for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to judge your kids too, because you have perverted them as well. You see, if you really, truly read these scriptures in the Torah, you're going to find, prophetically, that they will bring you right back to the day in which you live today. But that's not going to happen unless you have a desire to see it. You must have ears to hear. Otherwise, you will never, ever hear it. And so in Exodus 7:6, it says, Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. Okay, now I'm going to call you, Dana, when you're 80 years old. Oh, that's nice. Aaron, you're going to be called when you're 83. You're going to have the biggest ministry of your life. You're going to be 83 years old. You know, there's a preacher, R.W. Shambach, in Bible school. He was a big, he's a man of God. At least at the time when I was listening to him. He died here the other day. And he was in his 80s. My friends, Moses and Aaron are just getting going with the biggest battle of their life, and they're in their 80s. Now you think about that. You think about the fact that, well, let's start this deliverance when I'm 80. That sounds like a good time, huh? You're going to move 1 million people out of Egypt. You're going to take on Pharaoh. You're going to call down plagues. You're going to virtually destroy Egypt. And then you're going to write the law. You're going to go 40 days without eating and drinking. Then another 40 days. And you're 80? How can you do that? That's called the call of God, the anointing of God. It's called supernatural. But in America, we can't do that. You know, around 60, 65, we want to retire and we want to go on cruise ships, God forbid. Oh, we want to just kick our feet back and we want to, sit under that tree and have a beer or a Mai Tai and, you know, see dancing girls and whatever. We want to enjoy life. That's America. Eat, drink, and take thine ease. You've made your money, you're rich, you got a lot of retirement, sit back. You don't need to do nothing for the Lord. He'll understand. That's what we think. But you need to understand something. Moses was 80, Aaron was 83 when they were given the call to do this. One of the most important things that God had planned right there. That was it. Now, God is doing another move right now. And the last thing he's interested in is all your excuses. Now, you can make them, but you're going to be left in the dust. When the hammer comes down, you'll be sitting on that beach with that Mai Tai when all hell breaks loose. And you'll die in the process. When you're slapping your back or someone else's back and, you know, kicking back because you got so much money and you just got your new house and you're going to rest and recover the rest of your life and just all kinds of luxury, all hell's going to break loose. See, it's going to come when you least expect it. It's going to come when they say peace and safety, then shall it'll happen, you see. So there, you know, that's why it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. This is the God above all gods, folks. Now understand, this isn't the God of the Muslims. This is not the God of the Hindus. This is not the God of the Buddhists. This is not all these other little rinky-dink gods that most of these people think they have. Those are demons. This is the only true and living God there is. Ever. Ever. This is Him. And He has sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins, to redeem you, but He's not done with you. And so now Moses and Aaron at 80 and 83 have a job to do. And you tonight have a job to do. Jacob's trouble is coming. The snare is on the earth. People are going to die. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? First thing, seek the Lord. Exodus 7:9, and when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They did also in like manner with their enchantments. They cast down every man his rod, they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. That's the first thing that happened. Now, of course, within this, the first thing you see that's most obvious that you've heard about, we talked about it last year, and that is darkness has power. Now, many people will say deceivableness with all lying signs and wonders. But I got news for you tonight. Satan and his minions can produce real, live, 100% miracles out of the supernatural. The minute you don't think they can, then you don't know anything about the powers of darkness. Now, they're nothing to be compared to our God. But if you're a backslidden church, you're in trouble. If you don't know the Lord, that ain't good. You see, for years and years, they tried in the seminaries to tell us that these would be lying wonders. They wouldn't be really true miracles. Well, that's a lie. That's a bunch of hogwash. The reason they're lying wonders is because Satan will come as an angel of light, and he will do these miracles, and these miracles will say, in a lying way, I am God. And they will say that about the son of perdition who's doing them, the beast. Okay? They will testify to a backslid church, a harlot church, and to those in darkness, that he is God. And he's not God. That's why they're lying wonders. So here, the first thing you see. Well, Aaron's rods did swallow him up, but the Pharaoh had enchanters. And they got out their little bag of tricks and they were able to do that. Somehow, some way. And that's not all they could do. So number one thing you need to learn, darkness has power. And without the Lord, you need to be remaining attached to. Now, I talk about abide a lot, and I found it interesting. The prophet Tom talks about abide a lot. That is the secret for all of us. Abide. Remain attached to. Don't fall away from. You know? Well, at any rate, when we pick this up, maybe I can do this on Tuesday. We will be into the major portion, into the Nile River, into blood. And that gives you kind of an intro to this, and we'll call this our part one intro. And we will have this, I'll have to redo this, put it up, and it'll be up there. It'll take a little bit, but I'll get her up there. But other than that, Chris, are you back with me?
I am back with you, Dana, right here, almost next to you. But
well, you know, the good thing of it is that you're recording fine.
Well, that's cool.
You know, so we really don't need Blog Talk, by the way.
We've had issues with that before.
Yeah, we have. I'm waiting for them to call me. I'm going to be checking the phone lines. The funny thing of it is, see, this thing goes through my stream. See, I'm streaming this directly from my system. So I don't know. You know, I just don't know. Have no idea. Well, I'll have to look at it, you know. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Thursdays, no.
Happens on Fridays.
And I tried it, you know, where I didn't put myself on mute in the studio because I was wondering, you know, because that's what I do on a Friday. I put myself on mute, so if I'm dropping a glass or doing something, you know, I don't make any noise. And, you know, that didn't work either. It still kicked us off, and then I was kicked off at the end there.
Well, that's because I pulled the plug.
Okay. I did have that thought, but I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, I did pull it because I'm not going to spend the rest of the time. And I'm glad, in a way, I'm glad it happened because this shows me that we can stream right from my laptop and right from this thing. And for those of you that join us, you're over on the D-Day for America, you're there and you're faithful, know this, that we can do it without Blog Talk now. So, you know, push comes to shove, we'll all get together and we'll just stream it straight through. So that's all there is to that. Because, you know, they can find us through the websites. You know, we're not here to play games. If people want to find us, they'll find us. You know, but at any rate, I do want to get this thing with Blog Talk figured out. And I you know, this phone thing is just a problem with the phone company. So I don't really know what we're going to do about it. So at any rate, I think that's about it. And I'm trying to think how I can. I really can't do much right now. I do have another thing, and I haven't used it.
Well, I would like to quickly remind everybody to check their email boxes on Sunday. The Watchman Exposé newsletter will be out. And it is a hard-hitting, biblical, in-depth writing on faith, salvation, Jesus, prophecy, end of the world, and the return of Christ. And this week's exposé features a look back to 1 year ago, January 2011, includes our newsletter, The End Time Gathering. And this week, the end time gathering of all, Ephraim and Israel in one, the remnant of the Lord God. And with that, I bid you all a good night, God bless, and see you on Tuesday.
Well, folks, we're definitely done for the tonight, and I'm glad we did find some, you know, find out that all of this worked. And So at any rate, War Radio. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Let the Watchman declare what he sees. Be sure to check out our websites, wingswatchman.org, ddayforamerica.com, or warn-usa.com for more information. Shalom, everybody. Until next time, God bless.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.